I've always been captivated by sound. I have actual sonic proof of this. After my grandma died in 2017, my dad found a beat-up shoebox of cassette tapes in her attic. Since I'm the only family member that still owns a boombox, he gave the tapes to me. Strangely, all of the cassettes were blank except for one. It was labeled First Tape, December 1984. This was the year my grandpa Ron bought a portable recorder with a microphone. His first and only audio composition was a variety show of sorts. The tape is a mix of Christmas carols recorded from the radio, narrative that sounds a bit like my grandpa impersonating a game show host.
Okay, now Stephanie, you listen here.
And multiple attempts to interview the grandchildren.
Come on, it's playing. They're waiting for you. Sing it, okay, sing from over there.
No!
We can hear it. Sing from over there.
No!
Most of these interview attempts feature the breathy noises of little kids sugared up on holiday treats. But one particular moment of lucidity made my ears perk up.
Say, go ahead. Well, you have something to say, Stephanie?
Mm-hmm. I want to just listen.
You want to just listen?
Yeah, to the music.
Oh, to the music.
As a longtime music nerd and someone who has made a career of thinking about sound, I want to just listen could be the thesis statement of my life. Fast forward ahead through awkward grade school trumpet lessons, angsty teenage years.
Kurt Cobain, the leader of one of rock's most gifted and promising bands, Nirvana, is dead, and this is the story as we know it so far.
And that intense Britpop phase in college. To 2008, the year I started graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh. This is when I discovered that multimodal composition was a thing, but also that rhetoric and composition scholars were starting to pay more attention to sound in general. So when I got to teach my first class at Pitt the next year, I immediately wanted to try out an assignment that required audio editing, a very simple musical literacy narrative. After taking students through the basics of how to use a digital audio editor, I was walking around the classroom to see if they were getting the hang of it. I went over to a student with his hand raised and asked how it was going. In the most sincere voice, he said, "This feels radical." It really did. It was 2009. While others in the field were incorporating sound into their pedagogies by that point in time, it felt radical for me and for that student to be composing with sound in a writing course, even though neither one of us really knew what we were doing.
I got a mind-blowing philosophy.
Here we are, more than a decade later, and teaching with sound no longer feels radical. In fact, it's now commonplace, a standard feature of multimodal composition courses. And that's a good thing. The eclectic range of topics taken up in this collection, soundscapes, voice, hip-hop pedagogy, remix, audio tours, oral histories, archives, listening, access, and more, is a testament to the health and continual growth of sonic work in writing and rhetoric, and in related fields. Sound writing, a concept popularized by the editors of this collection, has become not only accepted, but embraced. We now have the freedom to experiment, to keep pushing the limits of what we can teach and do with sound in the classroom.
Two, three, four. Beep, bang, bang.
Amplifying sound writing asks us to turn up the volume and listen to authors who are invested in spreading their bold and dynamic approaches to sonic pedagogy. Relying on both theory and praxis, the authors in this collection offer innovative ways to challenge teachers and students to engage and compose with sound. They invite us to interact with the sonic world in more attuned, expansive, and full-bodied ways. This collection reverberates with pedagogical potential. The question is, are you ready to listen?
Listen. I want to just listen. I want to just just listen.